You're listening to History for Christian Teens, the podcast where we examine historical people, places, and events through the lens of the Bible, drawing meaningful lessons that we can apply to our own lives as believers. This podcast is designed for middle and high school age students, but mom and dad and everyone else, you're invited to listen in too. This broadcast is brought to you by the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the History for Christian Teens podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Niehoff. Thanks so much for joining us today.
And I'm your co-host, Crystal Niehoff. On this episode of the History for Christian Teens podcast, let's find out how a greedy and scrupulous tax collector left that life behind to follow Christ. Not much is known about the man we know as Matthew. Most of what we do know comes from the biblical account of his calling. In Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13, Mark 2, verses 14 through 17, and Luke 5, verses 27 through 32, and from the book that bears his name, one of the four gospel accounts of the New Testament.
In the book, 10 Minutes to Knowing the Men and Women of the Bible, author Jim George explains the state of Israel when Matthew was born. Since Israel's return from the Babylonian captivity, the nation has been occupied or under the control of numerous foreign powers. At the time of Matthew's birth, Israel is under the control of the Roman Empire. The people speak their local language, Aramaic, the trade language, Greek, and the language of their Roman conquerors, Latin. The Romans control the trade routes between Egypt to the south and Syria to the north. Local Jews who want to do so can buy tax franchises from the Roman government and collect taxes from those who use these trade routes. Most tax collectors charge higher than necessary fees and pocket the excess after giving Rome her share. End quote.
His Greek name, Matthew, means gift of God. His father's name was Zalpheus, as we read in Mark 2, verse 14, where he is also called by his Hebrew name, Levi. It was not unusual for first century Jews to have both a Semitic and Greco-Roman name. It is likely that this apostle's full name was Levi Matthew. The name Levi indicated his priestly lineage in the line of Levi, who was one of the sons of Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Matthew's occupation was that of a publican or tax collector in Capernaum, collecting tariffs on goods that passed on the roads between Damascus and the Mediterranean Sea. Publicans or tax collectors are historically despised in every culture, though during this time they were especially hated by the Jews, and the Pharisees considered tax collectors the worst of sinners.
GotQuestions.org explains why. An invading government employed citizens of the conquered nation to do its dirty work in order to entice men to betray their countrymen. Officials promised hefty bonuses to publicans and allowed them to extort as much money from the citizenry as they could get. Because of the corruption inherent in the system and the abetting of the enemy, it is easy to understand why publicans were despised as traitors to their own nation. They could only find companions among other publicans or from within the criminal element. So association with a publican automatically casts suspicion on a person's reputation. End quote.
Because of Matthew's position, he would have overheard people speaking of Jesus and the miracles he was performing, and also his claim to be the promised Messiah. He may even have heard Jesus teach his Sermon on the Mount in Galilee, where Matthew lived. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 through 26, we read this account that took place just before Matthew, also known by his Hebrew name Levi, has a life-changing encounter. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house and lay him before Jesus. When they couldn't find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus.
When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven."
The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?"
Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today."
Then we go on to read in verses 27 through 28 that after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Author Jim George says that whatever information or association he has with Jesus stirs his Jewish heritage so that when Jesus shows up at his tax booth, Matthew possesses enough information and faith to drop everything and follow Jesus, end quote.
There was much money to be made through collecting taxes, but Matthew chose to leave all that behind when he decided to follow Christ. The New American Standard Bible, Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Bible Notes, explains it this way. After years of counting out coins, writing out custom receipts, and collecting Roman taxes from his Jewish countrymen, Matthew finally heard an offer he could not refuse. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And at the sound of those words, Matthew left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. Notice the words Luke uses to emphasize Matthew's call into ministry. He tells us that Matthew left everything, the money, his connections within the Roman government, the powerful position he held. He left it all except, praise God, his gift of accurate record keeping. When Luke and Mark refer to Matthew, they identify him as Levi. But in Matthew 10:3, he refers to himself as Matthew the tax collector, a pointed reminder of a past he had given up, end quote.
He left behind the sources of his riches, his position of power, security, and comfort for traveling, hardship, and eventual martyrdom. Matthew left his old life for a new life with Jesus. Now full of zeal to introduce others to his Savior, Matthew held a banquet in his home, inviting other tax collectors, the despised of society, among others. Reading verses 29 through 31 of Luke chapter 5, "Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?'"
Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Matthew continued to have a deep burden for his people, ministering to Jews throughout Israel and beyond for many years. About 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Matthew writes his account of the life and ministry of Christ, written for the benefit of his Jewish readers. Because of Matthew's heritage in the line of Levi, he would have been given a good education and taught how to understand the Old Testament scriptures. In the Gospel of Matthew, he frequently quotes the Old Testament. In fact, Matthew quotes the Old Testament 99 times. Though little is known about Matthew, there is still so much to learn from him that we can apply to our own lives as believers.
Life principle number one, leave your old life behind to follow Christ. When you decide to follow Jesus, do as Matthew did and leave your old sinful ways behind. Stop partying, quit lying, steal no more, stop using profanity, refuse to read, watch, or take part in things you know are wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15 and verse 17 says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here.
And life principle number 2, share Christ with those around you. Right after Matthew decided to leave his life of sin behind and full of zeal for the Lord, he hosted a banquet, inviting his friends and fellow tax collectors to come meet Jesus. We don't have to fly to a faraway third world country to evangelize, though God may call us to do that. But we should also be sharing the gospel with those in our circle of influence, our friends, family, classmates, and coworkers. If you think an unbeliever you know would be hesitant to go to church with you, take the time to cultivate your relationship with them and then share Jesus through your life and words, wherever you are, a coffee shop, the skate park, at school, work, or even at home. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, we read, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven."
Amen. Well, that's it for today. Please join us next time when we discover the lasting impact of second chances for the nephew of a New Testament missionary.
Remember, links to everything we've mentioned today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. Got questions, comments, or prayer requests? Email us at historyforchristianteens@gmail.com. Have a blessed week. Thanks for listening in today. If you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe and give us a star rating on your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Facebook too. Links to this and all the other resources mentioned during the podcast today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. We hope you'll join us again next week for another thought-provoking and insightful lesson in History for Christian Teens.